Tonight's Big Brother finale recap is sponsored by TrueCar. TrueCar allows you to shop for a new car via the TrueCar website or the TrueCar mobile app. It will save you so much time in shopping for a new car that you could pick up a new hobby like learning how to play professional poker. And maybe one day you could make a lot of money and be like the next Vanessa Russo, because you'll be able to spend your time practicing and honing your craft instead of going around driving from dealership to dealership, picking out a car exactly with the features that you want and seeing what other people are paying for that same car down to the zip code. A lot of people on TrueCar have saved over $3,000 off MSRP without any hassles or headache. It's how car buying was meant to be. There are over 2 million cars that have been sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network and over 10,000 dealers. You'll work directly with a TrueCar Certified Dealer. So go ahead and start your car shopping experience without any hassle. Go to TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app and start saving. TrueCar, never overpay. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who secretly has made $4,500 as a professional podcaster, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our special coverage here tonight after the Big Brother 17 finale on a night where Steve Moses, sweet fancy Moses, he did it, and he pulled it off, and he is the winner. Vanessa, who I thought was the chalk pick to walk away with a win tonight, she is in third place, and Liz finishes in second. And to talk about all of it with me tonight here is our esteemed panel of live feed correspondents who's been with me all season long. Let's start off here, because it's Wednesday, with our usual Wednesday night correspondent, Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm good. That's right, Rob. Yeah, this is my usually my HOH room on Wednesday nights. It's been a really fun season, and it's a crazy finish. Moses parting the seas. Indeed.
He did it. He did it. And so we'll talk about all of Steve's game and Steve, the Big Brother winner here tonight. And with us also our usual Thursday night correspondent. Here's Brent Wagman. Brent, how are you?
Rob, I am great. Honestly, I tell you, that was a heartwarming victory by Steve that warmed even the cockles of my icy little gay heart. I am so happy that Steve won this thing, and I'm just putting it out there from the start that I was rooting for him.
Great. All right. Well, we'll talk about all of that. And then also here with us, here he is, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's been such a pleasure talking Big Brother with you all season long. And I think this is a pretty good outcome.
All right, so let's talk about all of it. We've got a lot going on here tonight. We've got the chat room open here on robswebsite.com for those of you guys who are joining us late here tonight. We've already podcast about the Survivor premiere earlier tonight. That was a lot of fun. You can check that out on robswebsite.com. We're going to take your questions tonight. I'm sure we'll have a lot of them. Reactions to the Big Brother finale, hashtag RHAP. And then again on our YouTube channel, robswebsite.com/YouTube. Tomorrow morning, I will speak with the winner of Big Brother 17, Steve Moses. Plus, I will speak to the second place finisher and the third place finisher in Liz and Vanessa as well in our Big Brother 17 exit interview recap. Plus, I'll talk to the first person kicked off the Survivor as well on Thursday morning. All right, so I guess the headline here tonight is Steve wins or Vanessa loses. Brent, what's the headline?
I think the headline is that, I was watching Twitter today, and Andy Heron had the best tweet of the day when he said, not for nothing, but Derek and I both had ourselves in a position where we were guaranteed final two, no matter what happened in that luck-based final three or part three of the final HOH. And it really showed up in Vanessa's game tonight. You know, it was like she was running a marathon. She got to the last, quarter mile, and she fell at the end. You know, Taryn can talk more about how we were both stunned that she did not campaign more to Steve to make sure that he knew the consequences of taking her to the end. I don't know if it would have worked, but she didn't do it, and that's on her.
Taryn, we talked about this yesterday with Dan Gheesling about what is she doing. Dan Gheesling, another person who is in a position where both Danielle and Ian would have taken him to the final three. Vanessa did not seem that interested, or she felt like Steve had it in the bag. What was it? That she felt confident, or she felt like Steve was taking her no matter what?
I think she felt a little too confident, and you know, she felt like she couldn't do anything to get Steve to change his mind if he had decided to go against her. I think she worked a lot on loyalty. And so she thought, okay, I'm going to get Steve to be loyal to me. And she wasn't working on, you know, her keyword incentives. She had an argument to present to Steve, which was, if you go against Liz, she has three votes locked. And I didn't hear her mention that to Steve once. And
yes,
you know, it's just like, she just kind of dropped the ball there.
Yeah. And so Steve ultimately ends up getting 6-3. And Vanessa ends up voting for Liz. Alex, do you have thoughts on this? Is it sour grapes, or does she really feel like Liz played the better game?
You know, I mean, from what she said right there, it sounded like she thinks Liz played the better game. I think it's really hard for anyone to rationalize that quickly. The turnaround now from third place is so fast that I don't know that we could even expect any other outcome but for her to get rid of Steve, or to not vote for Steve at that point, because it's just so soon. I mean, you give her a week and maybe the vote is different, but I just don't know. I mean, I think it's a situation where there's just no other outcome if it's going to happen immediately like that.
Now, when it comes to talking Steve, I think I'm going to probably have to eat a lot of crow here tonight, because I never believed that he could do it at any point in this. I just did not see it happening. And kudos to Steve and congratulations to him. But Brent, I saw you yesterday in the chat room when we were talking. You said Vanessa will not vote for Liz to win the game. She will vote for Steve. She's a logical person. She's a poker player. She will never vote for Liz to win the game.
Yes, I would like to balance that out against the fact that on June 28th, I did pick Steve to be the winner of the season. But having said all that, I just want to point out,
what was the disconnect? Also, why do you, what happened? Did you feel like you had a bad read on Vanessa, or that this is just something that is way out of character for her?
I do think it's a little bit out of character for her. I will say that I agree with Alex's point that, you know, it's easy for us to sit on the sidelines and call Vanessa bitter for voting for Liz. And by the way, in her little segment that she had where she cast her vote, she said she thought that Liz represented the best of this season. Are you kidding me?
The person who best represented this season.
Yeah, it was just mind-boggling. I thought she had voted for Steve when she said that. But to be fair, you know, it was just, you know, she's still in the game at that point. She had just been evicted. She had just been wildly betrayed by Steve in her eyes. I think if you'd given her even 15 more minutes, you know, once she was talking to the pre-jurors and Jason gave her a little pat on the back, you know, all of that stress seemed to melt away. And I do think that she would have cast a vote for Steve. I think she's going to be like Adam Pock from Big Brother 13, where it's a vote that you regret
the
fact. I really do think, because he voted for Portia, and it just, that's a vote you cannot argue that to the super fans out there. And I don't know in any way where Vanessa could argue that Liz was the better player of the two of them. And if you didn't know that going into tonight, you definitely knew it after the speeches by a mile, Steve Hatter.
Yeah, Taryn, how'd you feel like Steve did with his speech?
Steve was great. I'm really glad he dropped, you know, the whole idea of picking a detail about every juror.
Yes.
I'm really, really glad he dropped that. He did really well. Granted, it's pretty easy to do well when the jury is already going to vote for you, which I believe they were. But he did get some hard questions, and I think he handled them really well. And Liz, on the other hand, had no idea what she was doing. She even said, like, I didn't prepare anything, because she didn't. She had no idea she was going to the final two. She didn't even prepare anything.
But not even with Vanessa? She didn't have, like, a speech plan for when she was there with Vanessa? What are you doing in there for 98 days, Liz? Or 85 days, as you believe?
She really, you know, she wasn't doing much. And, you know, speaking to what Vanessa was maybe thinking, I don't think Vanessa ever really liked Steve very much. I think she saw him as a valuable tool that she could use to get far in the game. She knew that he was somebody that she could use because he was socially inept. And she liked Liz a lot more. And I think another part of it is that she wanted a female to win. I think that was a big thing that she wanted for the season. And I think she probably wanted a female to represent the season.
You know, we've given Vanessa so much praise and crowned her probably prematurely. At least I know I have. And Steve even talked about how she is the best female Big Brother player of all time. Is that erroneous at this point? Do we have to go back and rewrite some of this instant feedback? Alex, is Vanessa, as Steve said, the greatest female Big Brother player?
Well, it's one of those questions, Rob, that, you know, depends on your definition. Is it, you know, do we look at the just solely at what they've done, or are we thinking about in a new game? You know, for, you know, if you had to bet your life on a player and they were all put in a new house.
All I can do is look at the resume.
Right.
I'm
okay.
Not thinking fourth dimensionally.
I mean, for me, I think it's certainly a debate. I think, you know, you can make the argument very easily. And I think it's another debate you could have. Is she the best to not win? I think, you know, you could make the argument that she's right there with Danielle Reyes in both of those.
I'll take Danielle Reyes any day of the week.
Yeah, I would too.
Brent?
I think I would take Vanessa. I thought she really had her fingerprints all over the season, as Julie said. I think we have to talk about the fact, Rob, that in a season filled with strong female competitors, you know, as much as I was rooting for Steve, it is a male that wins at the end. And there's something to be said for that. I think in the greater scheme of Big Brother, when you're living in a house in such close quarters with these people, that maybe boys can get away with more stuff than girls can. You know, in there's 17 seasons of Big Brother, 12 times a man has won, only 5 times a woman has won. The last time was
and after all this, the man beat the woman in the finals, and we were this close.
I know. Well, you know, the goblins were the kingmakers. You know, I said that going in, and I felt like that coming out, that Steve, Meg, and Jackie were going to vote as a block. They did, and they voted for Steve, and that was the difference tonight.
You know, Taryn, most importantly tonight, will Vanessa losing the game here, how will that impact the sales of Vanessa's ebook? Explaining her strategy from the season.
I think it's going to have a big impact. I mean, it's probably going to go from like 100 sales to like, you know, 60.
Maybe this is like the first book of the prequel. Maybe after she'll come back and win All Stars.
I think she'll be back. I think she wants to play, and I think they'll want to take her back.
I think it could go one of two ways. Like, literally, her finishing third place may be the best thing that ever happened to an All-Star season. That being said, she may just go away. I'm serious. She's got money. She's got fame. She's got a place in Vegas. She doesn't need any of this. I think we may never hear from her again.
It's going to be very interesting to see. I could see it going either way. I could see her wanting to come back more, or maybe she'll like come back and like host the competition next year and be like a Frankie Grande type presence, but somebody who doesn't really interact with the community at all.
Yeah. And as people have pointed out, you know, this is usually this is the time that the World Series of Poker is running. Usually, I mean, she'd be probably very deep in a lot of poker tournaments through July and August. So I think she'd have to wonder and really, really, you know, sit down and weigh and ask herself, you know, do I want to go through 98 days, miss out on the financial opportunity that is the World Series of Poker for potentially the heartbreak that ended up befalling me this time?
And what about the conspiracy theories that we heard over the summer that the season was being rigged for Vanessa to win? What was it? Does anybody remember? What was the actual conspiracy theory?
They were trying to rig the season so that she could promote a show called Poker Face that apparently is coming up. Sure. But all of those rumors were unfounded. They obviously would have told Vanessa in the diary room what Johnny Mack had finished his statement with if they wanted Vanessa to win. It just hogwash like normal. The show isn't rigged. It's influenced. It can be influenced by the public, but at the end of the day, it's not rigged.
Okay, let's talk about Steve and his... And I'm sure we'll talk much more about Vanessa because she was such a big presence in this game. And like her losing in third place is going to loom so much over any discussion of the season. But let's just talk about Steve. I actually thought that he was pretty good and a lot better than Liz in comparison in that final speech. But I felt like, you know, it was such an information dump. And I felt like, I know it's hard to actually connect with the people that were on the jury, but him, he just was like, you know, going through his information too fast. Again, compared to Liz, who was just repeating herself over and over again, it was, you know, night and day. But I thought he at least got that stuff out there, even though I felt like it was a little lacking in terms of relating to those people on the jury. What was Steve's biggest move in the game, Alex? What do you think, if you had to put your finger on it, what was the best thing he did?
He evicted Vanessa tonight.
Besides
that's
that.
It's not close. Okay. Besides that.
What's second?
He probably just how he handled the double eviction. And, you know, at the time, a lot of people were saying, you know, Meg and Jackie, that's so weak.
The first double eviction.
Yeah, the first double eviction, right, when he won head of household. I thought that was the correct move at the correct time. Like he said, you know, he kind of basically put himself in position to finish kind of, you know, to go on this run that he went here on the end. He, in putting on Meg and Jackie, he really didn't lose any allies. He didn't alienate anybody. And then he was set up going forward where he didn't need to win. He had secured trust of the Aust twins and Vanessa. And then that bought him certainly, I mean, the, you know, the time that where they would then, you know, target, you know, James or somebody else.
Right. Over here. Right. Disagree.
Rob, I remember Austin after the double eviction when, you know, there was talk of putting Steve on the block or possibly evicting him. And Austin kept coming back to the fact, well, you know, he must be loyal. He kept us safe. He could have put us up in the double eviction and he didn't. He kept us safe. So that certainly did buy Steve some time in the Big Brother house to come back and stab them in the back later on.
I do want to say, I do agree. I think the double eviction, he handled it as well as he could have, given that he was trying to throw it. I think the best thing Steve did all season was how effectively he was able to play Vanessa throughout the entire season. He presented himself as a tool for her to use, all the while knowing that she would beat him in the end, or not all the time, but knowing that he couldn't trust her, and then toward the end, knowing he couldn't beat her, and making sure that she thought that he would take him. It's similar to how John and Netta, you know, played out in Big Brother Canada 2. And a move that I can point to is, again, in week 2, Steve is the first person to tell Vanessa about the twin twist. And that really helped solidify their final two together. And, you know, Vanessa worked that information really well, but so did Steve. And he did really well with that as well. And, you know, I think over the course of the season, that's what we're going to look for as what Steve did to really, really beat Vanessa at this game.
I thought it was really interesting to hear what some of the other people on the jury were saying about Steve, because it was really all over the board in terms of their opinions of him. Shelley described Steve as somebody who was almost playing a character in the house, and that he was somebody who made himself socially awkward in the house as part of his game. Brent, did you see that?
Oh, yeah, I certainly did. I mean, I think, I don't know if she knows anything about this, but she, you know, Steve, for instance, was, you know, there was that scene of him crying to the twins and I think Vanessa after the first double eviction. And then he looks at the camera and says, 50% acting. So I think that maybe they weren't really buying his naive student act. You know, I said this on a podcast earlier. I felt like Steve would have been better off to add a little bit less of that, you know, just own his game a little bit more, not be quite so hyperventilating and hysterical, because it's hard for people to respect that. And I think by the end, you saw that people respected him enough to give him the vote, but more than anything, they liked him better. I could see that people were voting with their heart there at the end more than anything. Now, he may have won it on, you know, brain and gut too, but they were voting with their heart.
And how much of it was that he was up against Liz in the finals?
I think that's a huge amount. I really think that a lot of those questions were prepared thinking that Steve was going to be against Vanessa. I really think the entire jury thought that Liz, you know, with two guaranteed votes, was probably going to be evicted in third place. I don't think that the jury was really thinking third dimensionally, like, you know, yeah, she might have two guaranteed votes, but that's probably all she gets, you know?
Like the James question was so bizarre because it was like, Steve, you were a floater this whole game. You're sitting next to somebody who was an amazing competitor. It's like, what? Right. This was a question for Steve versus Liz?
Yeah. Exactly. I think that was, I thought he pulled the wrong card at that point. I thought, Yeah, I didn't know what he was talking about.
It's not unheard of for these live jury questioning segments to have errors. In Big Brother Canada 3, a couple people made errors in the questions they were supposed to ask. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if that was genuinely meant for Steve with Vanessa sitting next to him.
Yeah. It did seem like the jury also was kind of hard on Steve in the questions. It's like, really, in terms of the questions that they got, I felt like Steve got some pretty probing questions from the jury, whereas the three questions that were asked for Liz, two of them, one was from her twin sister and was basically like, so tell us how awesome you are. And then the other one was from her boyfriend, Austin. I mean, how is that even fair that you would have the jury ask them questions and Steve got like three hardball questions and then Liz got questions from two out of the three people that were her best friends in the house?
I think that comes down to, you know, that was Steve's, I mean, that you know, speech, that was Steve's trial by fire. You know what I mean? Everyone knew what Liz brought to the table because Julia and Austin had no doubt articulated it ever since they got to jury. So you don't really have questions for Liz at that point. Anything you would have asked Liz, you could safely ask Austin or Julia. And I think it's more at that point, I don't think Steve needed to take any votes away that were Liz votes. What he needed to do is secure some people that were probably still up in the air. And those people were looking to see something from Steve, and they already knew what they were getting with Liz, I think.
Okay. Johnny Mack also referred to Steve as a rat in the Will Kirby segment and then called him the worst alliance member ever. Taryn, were you surprised that Johnny Mack seemed to have so much animosity towards Steve?
No, not really. I think we saw a little bit of it in the house and we saw a little bit of it in his exit interviews. I know he still likes Steve, but he was never really happy with Steve as an alliance member. And I love Johnny Mack was perfect in the jury segment. He was pretty much spot on with his analysis of the players. He was hard on Steve, yes, but I think he was doing that in the case of a Steve versus Vanessa scenario. He still knew that Steve would deserve it over Liz. And I love Johnny Mack as a juror.
Based on what we saw, though, tonight, do you feel like if it was Vanessa versus Steve, do you think that Vanessa would have had the votes, Brent?
I don't know. I've gone over that a couple times in my head. It's impossible to tell where people like Shelley were at because Shelley was Vanessa's biggest defender. But I have to say, though, you know, I remember when they first interviewed Shelley when she was in the jury house and she said, I'm rooting for my Stevie and Johnny Mack. And then she said a little something else. And then she said, you know, she was also talking about respecting Vanessa's game. I really think that likability trumps respectability in the jury house of Big Brother.
I will say I was watching I caught some of the exit interviews in the backyard before the show started. And Johnny Mack said that he was pretty sure that Vanessa would have won against Steve in the final two. James also said he would vote for Vanessa over Steve. Jackie said she would have voted Steve over Vanessa. So those are the ones we know for sure. And Johnny Mack is pretty sure that Vanessa would have won as a whole.
Okay.
So we'll see exactly how that goes. Alex, do you think that Vanessa's legacy is helped by not winning?
No. You know, I mean, I think no matter what, winning looks better than not winning. But, you know, from the standpoint
of,
like,
in ET Canada, though?
Well, I think just having a podcast versus not having a podcast plays a lot there.
All right, well, I hope Vanessa starts a podcast.
Yeah, if she rolls on with her ebooks or whatever it is she's doing, then yeah, she's in business. But you know, ultimately, I think it really comes down to you know, now I think there's a bigger window for her to come back and play in like an All-Stars type of season where they're not looking for winners. And, you know, then, you know, that's an opportunity. I think beyond that, you want to win, right?
I think so, yeah. I do think that the Vanessa, you should have won, she should have won storyline, I feel like that starts to take on more steam than her being the winner who didn't really own her game. I feel like there's a little more romanticism about that. Brent, do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think many of us will look... Yeah, we'll look back on this and say, wow, such a great season. You know, but Vanessa was almost there. She's one of the greats who never won. Whereas if she won, we'd be complaining the whole time about the fact that she didn't own her game, that she had no, you know, joie de vivre when she was in the diary room trying to, you know, show people the joy that she has in the game. She just took all of the fun out of it, and that's why I think that people didn't really respond to her. You know, Rob, I wanted to make a comparison between Netta from Big Brother Canada 2 and Vanessa, both titans of the game, strategically sound, but the super fans, the viewers, they were rooting for Netta. You know, they really liked her. You know, whereas with Vanessa, at best, the super fans respected her, and at worst, they absolutely hated her. And it's because of the fact that I think it's as simple as a smile in the diary room. You know, Vanessa didn't smile very much. Netta did. And people liked watching her play. Vanessa never owned her game, and it really showed.
So what about that part in the diary room session where she's going, "It's my birthday"? Remember that one? Wasn't she smiling in that one?
And she was dripping charisma while she was doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
So over the past few seasons, now if we go back to Big Brother 14, Ian Terry wins. Big Brother 15, Andy wins. Big Brother 16 is Derek, and then here's Steve. We have now male. And also, with the exception of Derek, we have people who are probably as what you would describe as the super fans, and people who were not necessarily people who were playing an out-in-front type of game. Alex, tell me, is the Big Brother formula broken that we're seeing a lot of similar types of people win?
No, I think it just goes to speak to, you know, the game, you know, as it stands. It's a product of the people in the house every year. So you have to, you know, adapt to the circumstances. And I think this was a season, and, you know, we've seen in the past recently, seasons of large, you know, kind of big, boisterous personalities. If there's a lot of those, it behooves you to just kind of disappear for a little while and lay low. I mean, it worked for Andy. And, you know, I think it just speaks to, you know, if there was a house full of quiet, savvy game players, then maybe it's better to be the person who's, or it just in general, if it was a house of just, you know, quieter players too, just like a bunch of, you know, pawns, then, you know, it's better to be the person who's making big, bold moves. But I think, like, it really does speak to, you know, zigging when the majority zags, in at least in my opinion.
Do you think that there will be any impact on Big Brother 18, the win from Steve tonight, Alex?
I think I'm definitely not going to apply because anyone with glasses is getting targeted right away.
Well, but I mean, Steve won, you know, so closely after Ian within three seasons.
Oh, but they were talking about it week one or week two, and then they're kicking themselves now, Rob. Think about the people that go in next. We're not going to make that mistake. That kid with glasses, done.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens ultimately. But it is interesting now that we've had four seasons in a row without a female winner. Brent, is there anything to that?
I think it's just a little bit, you know, what I said before, the fact that boys, I feel like just women in general, especially who are on the jury, boys can get away with more stuff than girls can. And that says something about us as people, maybe as players even. But I think the other thing too is it's one thing to say in the house, you know, yeah, I want a girl to win this season, because I heard many people say that this season, you know, I want it to be a girl power at the end, you know, girlfriend, love you. But it's different when it's that girl, you know, I mean, which it's one thing to say it, but then when you got to put Liz's key in the box, yeah, I think there were many people who found that to be absolutely intolerable.
Not Austin.
Well, yeah, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Yes, Tarrant.
I'm not sure I really buy into the females, you know, aren't going to win as much as the males. I think, you know, discounting season one before tonight, and tonight was a coin flip. It could have gone either way. You know, 5 versus 10 winners. It's still within the general kind of statistical average of like what you'd expect. It's 66% compared to 50%. Come on. There's a 20% chance it's going to happen.
Yeah, game versus a 40%
chance
speaking,
and a 30%
Brent.
Chance. Yeah, exactly.
Look, I'm going by what Julie Chen herself said on the podcast.
Oh, Julie Chen hates Johnny Mac.
She hates Johnny Mac.
Beyond that, she loves Steve. And she was the one who was saying that, you know, girls in the jury are the worst because they're the ones who are so catty and are holding girls, you know, more responsible for some of the shtick that they've done in the house than the boys. I really do think that's an element of Big Brother. And I also think it shows up in Survivor a bit too. When you let you know, it's when it's a boy stabbing in the back, it's like, oh, you know, boys will be boys. And, you know, that's just part of the gameplay and the aggressiveness of the game. You know, we can excuse that because that's associated with male characteristics. When a female does it, you're like, well, I don't like it when she did it. You know, it's just, I really do think that people, by and large, maybe not you, maybe not us, but they treat them differently. I think it's a fact of life.
Yeah. I definitely think an element is casting types too. I think when you look at who they're looking to cast as the game bots and the strategists, by and large, they're always men. I mean, really, up until Vanessa, I don't think we've seen a lot of people that were fans, or I mean, at least not just out and out recruits that were also really strong game players. Because I mean, Amanda auditioned for The Bachelor. So like, it really is interesting. Like, I think I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see them really go the extra mile and reach out. And, you know, I think we saw several this season. I think Shelly is a very capable player. And I think we saw many instances of Shelly just, and tonight she really had her pulse on her finger on the pulse of everything in my mind.
Right.
And, Becky, you know, Becky was,
played a good game.
She was strong, she was not smart. You know, right. Devon, Audrey, these are all people that, like, in another context, in another lifetime, maybe are very good at this game. So I think it's really interesting. And I would love to see that be a continuing trend going forward, is them really casting both the male and female sides with people just kind of chock full of people who could actually win this game.
All right. We saw tonight America's favorite player was crowned, and the final three was James and Johnny Mac, as was expected, and then also Jason. So a pretty good night for Jason to make the top three of America's favorite player. It would be fun to hear what the percentage breakdowns were, but it was James who wins over Johnny Mac. So sad news for the Mac pack.
No
America's favorite player for Johnny Mac. Tara, why do you think Johnny Mac couldn't seal the deal?
I have to think a large part of it is that recap episode. James got like three segments and Johnny Mac got none. And I mean, in general, Johnny Mac probably relates closer to Big Brother's audience as a whole than Johnny Mac does as, you know, a dentist, who plays video games.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's great, but I don't know if a whole lot of Big Brother watchers are big video game fans.
I don't know.
Hey, Rob, I just want to add, I don't know if you remember this or not, but Eric Stein, I'm sure you remember it, on the podcast, he said that Steve is going to be somebody's downfall because people were dismissing him. And it came home to roost tonight. You know, I remember when they used it as a segment at the beginning of the show where Steve asked Jason for a hug and Jason said, no, that's okay. And we thought it was funny. And then, you know, one and a half weeks later, Jason needs his vote to stay in the house. I mean, that would, if he could have gone to Steve and campaigned to him, that would have made a difference in Jason's fate. But unfortunately, Jason knew that door was closed because Steve was never going to vote for Jason to stay. So I really think it behooves any of the fans who go into the house next year, don't dismiss anybody. You know, if you see that person on the sidelines who doesn't have a friend, go up to them, make friends with them, use them, get to know them. If somebody asks you for a hug, even if you're not in the right mood for it or not, give them the freaking hug. You know, I really think that Eric was so prescient when he talked about that. I dismissed what he was saying at the time, and it still happened.
Well, let's talk about a little bit of that and Steve's game as a whole. And, you know, I never had a good read on this throughout the whole season. From the preseason, I said, this guy is no Ian Terry. And all throughout the season, I famously said that him and Johnny Mac were losers on the night of the second double eviction. I did not think that they could seal the deal. Obviously, Steve does go on to make the biggest move of the game and take Vanessa out. But it just felt like to me they were willing just to lay down and die and go along with Vanessa, and at times the game came back to them. So in terms of Steve, Alex, how much of this was planned out and how much of this was, you know, the ball bouncing the right way at various times and him taking advantage of opportunities that were presented, as opposed to that was the way he drew it up early on in the game?
Yeah, so I'm really excited when Steve finally, you know, gets out of the house and everything and listens to that podcast and, you know, then tweets about how Canada's favorite Survivor player was drastically mistaken.
Look, the joke's on me. The joke's on me. You know, and I come on here and say these things, and I was not alone in the feelings that I was having at that second double eviction. But I mean, Steve ultimately goes on to win the season. So what the hell do I know? Not the first time that I'm wrong, and definitely not the last.
You know, yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, you always talk about how, like, if we, you know, in Survivor, if we don't see it in the confessional, I'm not inclined to believe that that's what the thought process was. And if you go back, I mean, you could still find it, I'm sure, on YouTube. I haven't watched it since the beginning of the season, but I remember Steve talking about at the beginning of the season how he was going to play up the social awkwardness, how he was going to get the teddy bear in the HOH basket. I mean, this was planned from before he ever went in the house. So, you know, is it entirely calculated? Like, you know, was saying I love you to Dave Vaughn strategic? No, you know, he's scared and he's nervous, and that was real. But at the same time, he went in there knowing his strengths, knowing his weaknesses, and knowing how to kind of maximize his advantages, and kind of just with a kind of bare bones structure of what he wanted to do. And then he just kind of navigated within his structure, and he kept it safe, but you know, he was able to play it safe. He never really was in a position where he had to just drop everything and gun for it. So it worked for him.
Brent, if we're going to put the win of Steve into perspective with the other 16 Big Brother winners, where are we looking at Steve?
I don't know. I think it's still maybe a little too soon to say, but you know, that's what we're here for. I know. I'll try. I'd probably have it, you know, in the lower 2/3, maybe, you know, but around 12, 13. You know, you have to give him credit. You know, he did win final 10 HOH, final 6, final 4, and final 3. I mean, that is not easy. He essentially did what Ian Terry said he was going to have to do, which was comp out at the end, with the exception of final 5, where he was very vulnerable. But Vanessa finally woke up and got rid of Austin. So I think that you have to give credit where it's due in that respect. On the other hand, he did let Vanessa drive the bus while he was in the passenger seat or even the back seat, you know, most of the time. But I think he was happy to be there, like Darren said. He knew what he got in Vanessa, and he also knew what he got in himself too. You know, he knew what he represented and what he was about when he went into the house. He went into the house with no illusions otherwise. And I really think it showed up in his game. I mean, if anybody drew up their game plan in chalk and sent it to you before the season started, it was Steve. And you saw it in his HOH blog when you read it. You know, it was the most informative HOH blog of the season, where he laid out everything, why he did this and why he did that. So I do think there has to be given credit there. You know, the downside, the reason why I'm placing him maybe in the lower half of the people, maybe even the lowest third, is because it wasn't exactly a fun game to watch. You know, it wasn't a Dan, it wasn't a Will, it wasn't even Derek may have been more exciting, you know. It didn't make great TV. And, you know, like Dan said on the podcast last night, Dan Giesling, you know, he evicted Vanessa tonight, and then, you know, not 10 seconds later, before she's out the door, he's saying, "I'm sorry." And I just wanted to throw my chair at the TV when he did that, you know. But he won, so good for him.
Yeah. All right, would anybody have him higher than 12 in the rankings, either Alex or Taryn?
Yeah.
I've got him at 11.
11. Taryn, where do you got?
You know, I was thinking about it, and I somewhere between 8 and 10, and I'm leaning toward 8.
8.
Okay.
Yeah.
8. And
also, Alex reminded me earlier that the winner of this season accidentally said "I love you" to Devon, and I just love that so much.
He said he's had a real character arc, hasn't he? I mean, this really has been an entertaining, if you go back and watch it as the Book of Steve, I mean, it really is entertaining.
Right. I do think that something has to be said, though, for the fact that he was a coin flip away from losing. I mean, it was, you know, it's tied going into that last question. And if Johnny Mac says "I was more ripped than I hate drilling into people's mouths," then Steve's out in third place. And what are we talking about here?
Yeah, so, really was surprised. I thought that Vanessa had that one where he said, what was the best part of the season? I didn't have to drill into people's dirty mouths, or I got jacked. I mean, if you're one of Johnny Mac's patients, is that what you want to hear?
I think you said nasty teeth, but I think most people would agree that it's kind of a nasty job. So I think they kind of expect that, you know. By the way, Rob, I just want to point out, Jordan won this competition and Cody won this competition. So I don't know what Vanessa was thinking, saying that she has an edge in this competition. No one. I think Jesus himself doesn't have an edge in this competition, because you never know what people are going to say.
Yeah. No, this is definitely a coin flip, this final competition.
Yeah, I was laughing at people when they said, oh, well, Vanessa, she reads people for a living, so she must have an edge. I'm like, what's she going to read? Julie Chen reading the question? Because you don't see the people on the TV until after the answer's already been given.
Well, and I just feel like, you know, I mean, I need to go back and watch some of the earlier seasons again to just confirm my bias that I seem to have in my head. But I seem to remember some of these questions being a lot more poignant in terms of, like, if you really got to know these people and really played the social game, that you would have an edge back in the day. And now it's like, what annoys Jackie? Like, what a random question. You know what I mean? Right. So I would be more okay with this maybe if it was like, even if it was like personal questions about the person, like, is James's daughter A, Haley, or B, Bailey? You know what I mean? Like, that something that is like indicative of how much time you invested in each jury member, I think, is fine. But once you start to get into these questions that are like, what was Shelley's favorite, you know, thing? And it's like, it's harder, and it becomes more of a pressure.
I'd prefer that, or I'd prefer how Big Brother Canada went to it these last two seasons now, maybe, where they've continued to ask about things that have happened in the house, eviction votes, number of males, females nominated, evicted, who got evicted on their first time on the block, things like that. That's actually quantifiable. You know, these random things that they ask right now, I guess at this point they're doing it because that's the way it's always been done. But that's, you know, there are a lot of things that we've done which we don't do anymore. So I don't know why they don't change it.
I want to go against the grain here. I love part three. I love that it's random. I think it emphasizes the social game and the strategic game a lot more. And I think that's what Big Brother is all about. You know, you can't rely on competition wins to make it to the end. And I like that even in the final three, when you know the first two competitions, you cannot guarantee yourself a win, and you have to make sure that you're going to get taken there. So I like that aspect of it. I see why it's frustrating, but I like the aspect of it.
I feel like it does. It's like, if you want to guarantee victory, you have to get yourself to the end with two goats. And it's like, that takes some serious shepherd's work. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. Like, for it to not be a crapshoot, that's a serious game you'd have to play.
The last two people who have done it, though, Derek and Andy both got to the end with two people who would have taken them to the end, you know.
Indeed.
So
it's true.
It's doable.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a couple of quick things before we get into taking some questions from you guys. So they went to Jason for a question, and he talked about how Vanessa played this game, but she didn't own it. It seemed like the perfect opportunity for her to try to right that wrong. And she kind of just was like, you know, you're right. I totally did that. You're right. Taryn, was that for you enough that at least she admitted it, that she didn't say like, what are you talking about? Get out of here.
Not really. I feel like she wasn't really even paying attention to that part. She was just like, oh, thank you for complimenting me. I'm still in my head about the fact that I just lost this game. I'm going to agree with whatever else you say. You know, she's probably going to think about it more later on, and maybe she'll have a better explanation. Maybe she'll, you know, release her ebook, and we'll get a better idea of what her game was. But you know, if she had explained, just like given one reason for why she did it, instead of just saying, I totally understand that, then I would have been a little more forgiving.
Okay, Brent, I'm going to give you the chance to redeem yourself with the call that Vanessa was never going to vote for Liz. When I ask Vanessa tomorrow, Vanessa, if you had to do it over again, if you had a chance to vote for Steve in the final two all over again, what will Vanessa say? A, you got it. Oh my God, I totally would. Or B, like, no way, Liz played the better game.
Boy, it's tough. My gut is telling me that she's a pretty proud woman, and I don't think she's going to admit that she's wrong, because she said something pretty, you know, that was pretty ballsy of her to say, you know, when she said, you know, I'm voting for the person who's best represents the season. Or how did she say it, Rob? Was it something like that?
She said the person that best represents the season. No hard feelings, but...
Right. She said no hard feelings, but... And I'm like, I just couldn't believe it. So, but on the other hand, you know, she voted for her, and it's all, you know, it's all, it's all under the bridge now. So I think she's going to stick with what she said. And, Steve's definitely off the Christmas list, and Liz is, definitely on it at this point. When Vanessa finds out that Liz was telling her the truth, you know, that's the thing, Rob, that's what gave Vanessa a false sense of security. When Vanessa went to Liz and Liz emphatically told her that Steve had not come to Liz with anything, and that Steve was not talking to Liz about taking her to the final two. And Vanessa bought it, and Liz was telling the truth, you know, but she never considered the fact that even in a house with only three people where there's nothing to do, Steve was able to keep that inside of him. He never let on to Liz that he was going to take her to the final two when it's so easy to do that. I don't think people out there really understand how hard it is. You know, when you got no one to talk to and nothing else to do, to not just have a 5-minute conversation with Liz, to let it out and say, you know, I just want to tell you, I'm taking you to the final two. You know, he didn't tell her that. And because of that, it really showed up in her speech tonight where she couldn't believe it. She was blown away that she was taken to the final two. And really, you heard her say during the interim that she didn't have anything prepared, which was ludicrous mm-hmm. to me. So good on Steve for doing that.
Yeah, I just need the money. I just need the money, though. I just really thank you so much. I just need this money.
She thought she was out. She really did. She thought Steve was taking Vanessa.
I dropped a reference last week that I felt like, you know, it might be a little bit like a team that's never been to the Super Bowl before. Like, they get there, sometimes they're just excited to be there, and so they really can't win. That's what it felt like with Liz. It really felt like she's like, oh my God, I was not expecting in my wildest imagination to be here. She didn't see that there was like another step. She was like, wow, here is good. Like, I didn't expect here. So she wasn't even concerned with there. Here was fine, you know? And that speaks to, you know, if you have that mindset going into that final situation, then you're going to sit there and say, yeah, well, you know, I had a twin. Austin was there for me. Vanessa was there for me. And then you're going to turn and Steve's just going to bury you. I mean, Steve said exactly the right things about, you know, it was to Liz's advantage to have Austin and Julia. These aren't things that, you know, are signs of her strength. These are signs of how hard it was to get rid of her. I mean, she had like a peripheral shield because of these people. This was a weakness in her game, not a strength. And I mean, you know, he really was able to just like deliver the KO punch there. It was good.
Darren, why was Davon all over Judas?
Why wouldn't she be all over Judas?
Did she have animosity towards Austin in the house? I mean, she really came away from this. I don't remember the big Austin Davon rivalry, but she was like, just wanted to like roast him.
I mean, I don't think there was anybody that she could have, you know, really gone off on other than, you know, Austin is the punching bag, I think. And I think the Judas thing is something that everybody wanted to hear, just like how Jason said the thing about Vanessa that everybody wanted to hear. And I think she chose her words well. I think she really said something that a lot of people wanted to say to Austin.
Right. Right. Rob, I just want to say really quickly that I think, I mean, that was production, plain and simple. They set that up. They knew what they okay, so you're going to say the thing about Austin. She had it prepared. She knew exactly what she was going to say. And there's a reason for that. First of all, Austin has thought he's America's favorite, or Liz is America's favorite. He thought he's just been awesome on TV. He's going to get on the Bold and the Beautiful. You know, we've talked about that.
Blindsided.
But more than anything, Austin was been a pain in the butt to production. He's been flipping them off the entire season, not going when he's supposed to, just, you know, back talking them the entire season. So I think that was their way of getting back at him and letting him know people don't really like you.
Yeah. Really, Austin was just like, well, you know, I just thought people would like it. That's it. It was just some silly thing I did. Yeah, he's really had nothing, no comeback. I don't know.
I mean, you can't go tip top toes with Davon.
Yeah, it can't be like, well, Liz liked it. Yeah, how about Davon?
At least, you know, I don't know if it was, you know, just that he was totally stunned to silence in that moment, or if he actually speaks to his intelligence a little bit. But there's no coming out of that ahead. You know what I mean? You can't argue back with Davon in that moment. You gotta just be like, yeah, I'm an idiot. You know, what's he gonna do?
The chat room is asking me to talk about the technical issues. What did you think was going to happen there with Steve, where Steve is like, okay, here's what's going on. And he's like, and then they're like, oh, hold on, Steve. Hold on there, buddy. I have no audio in my headset. And then, it was like, and then he started again. Okay. So, and then it was like, oh, whoa, hold on, Steve. It was like they were pranking him. And then I thought they were going to eventually have to say, okay, Steve, well, you guys are going to have to come out here and give this speech in front of us, because we can't hear you.
The final takeover.
I thought they actually ended up doing Steve a favor, because whatever he said, I can't remember what he said, but it wasn't good. Like, whatever he came out of his mouth initially before they could hear him, I didn't like it. I didn't respond well to it. And then when finally when the sound started in, I liked what he said. So it I'm sure it probably threw him,
yeah,
but it gave him a good starting point where I don't think he really could breathe before.
You're right. I think he had like too much energy the first two. And the third one was still fast and a lot of information, but at least it was slower, of the slowest of the three times that he started. People also want us to talk about the production assistant lurking in the background. There was that point where they're like, all right, let's bring out the ninth juror.
Yeah.
And there's like a guy standing in the background. I'm like, who's this guy? And then here comes Vanessa from like the other side.
Right.
That was so great. I legitimately thought that was Vanessa coming out. And then I was, nope, that's not her.
I really
I thought he was the guy who was helping Vanessa, who was like the stagehand, like telling her to go on stage. And so I thought she was going to come out right there, you know?
No,
I really feel like he opened the door. Like I need to go back and watch to be sure, but I really feel like he had a guilty look on his face. Like he just kind of opened the door and was like, oh, just wrong time, man.
This is not there.
I wonder if he was just kind of spacing out, and then he heard come on out, and he was just like,
me?
Oh no, that wasn't for me. Oh my God, what do I do?
Yeah,
right.
Yes, Brent.
Rob, I wanted to talk about this because I saw somebody bring it up in the chat room earlier. The season isn't rigged or anything, but there was something weird that happened in part two of the HOH competition where apparently Liz didn't know one of the answers. Well, she was really stuck on one of the answers, and she kept saying, "I wasn't here for this. I wasn't here for this." And finally, I guess after like, I don't know how many minutes, production came over the loudspeaker and said, Liz, you were here for this. This was the week that you were HOH. And Steve was like, they told you that? And she was like, yeah. And then of course it goes to Fish. So I don't know what happened there. It didn't end up making a big difference in the end. Maybe they told her at the 29 minute point or something after she was already over Steve's time, but it definitely looked a little fishy that they were apparently helping Liz with the, part two of the HOH competition. You look quizzical. Have you not heard of this?
Me? No, I've been following that conspiracy theory on Liz. I can't imagine why Big Brother would want Liz to win the second part of the... I mean, the motive just doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it does to me if you're thinking about Vanessa, because Liz would have taken Vanessa to the end. So if Liz wins part two, Vanessa's in the finals and with a guaranteed win. So, you know, yeah, see, Alex is raising his hands. He knows what's up. That's what people were thinking when they heard that Liz got help. So I'd like to know from production what the hell was going on there, because Liz admitted that she got help from Big Brother. And I'd like to know what's up with that.
If I had to just take an educated guess, I would say, you know, if we look back and we look at the Big Brother Canada one, I remember a girl named Tala who was trying to figure out a 5-digit combination. And I'm pretty sure if production doesn't give her the 5-digit combination eventually, that she's still out there to this day trying to find that number. So at a point, you can't recall something you don't know. You know what I mean? And Liz just didn't know the answer. So, you know, she was just, you know, she had like sat down on the competition, I imagine, to the point where she's like not doing anything. And production's like, just throw her a bone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure she was past Steve's time at that point too.
All right.
This is guessing.
3 minutes. I'm just saying. Okay.
That's a fair point. Yeah. I did not expect that difference to only be 3 minutes. I will say that. I was surprised by that.
All right. Let's jump into taking some of the questions from you guys here tonight. So many different things to talk about. Here is the beekeeper. Where are the bees? Wants to know, will Vanessa's aggressive gameplay influence future players? Will the Rousseau effect be a thing? Taryn, do you think that future Big Brother players will come in and try to play like Vanessa?
I don't think they're going to try to play like Vanessa. I don't think Vanessa was as electric on the screen as Tony was. You know, you might watch Tony and think that's crazy. That's good TV. You know, he won. I kind of want to replicate that. You watch Vanessa and she's crying a lot. She seems miserable and she doesn't even win. And then there's a lot of other people who were playing really hard too fast early on in the season. If anything, they might take away from James and Meg and a couple of other players in the middle who weren't really doing much, that they think, okay, we need to make sure we're doing something. But I don't think we're going to see Vanessa inspire too many people. I think they're going to look at Steve to be inspired, honestly.
Any difference of opinion from Brent or Alex?
I think that what people should take away from this season is that they need to talk game with almost everybody in the house, even if on a general level. I continually go back to week 5 when Jason was evicted, because he talked to Vanessa at the beginning of the week when they made that Dark Moon Alliance and he knew what the plan was, and he never checked in with her again. He really didn't. He didn't go up to her on veto day, on the ceremony day. He didn't go up to her the day before. and say, you know, this is still the plan. Are we still doing this? Didn't do that. Blamed it on the fact that Vanessa had betrayed him. But I'm like, bitch, you never went back to her and said anything, you know? You said on the couch outside smoking with Davon or with Jeff or Audrey or whoever else was there, you know? They were all evicted at the time. But you get my point. He was on the couch smoking with somebody, with Meg probably, talking smack about somebody and not doing what he was there to do, which is make sure that he was safe for the week. And it showed.
Okay, let's take some more questions. Let's go to this one. Logan Rex, Vanessa got Sesternino'd. Completely dominated the game, but couldn't win the last challenge to seal the deal. Well, it's not fun. It's not fun. Sorry, Vanessa. It gets better. It'll get better. Jason Mason wants to know, why didn't Vanessa get to ask a question? Have they traditionally, that third place finisher that comes out, Alex, have they gotten to ask a question before?
Yeah, although I feel like someone just hands him a card. So it's like they're not really playing a very pivotal role in the process, even when they have asked a question. So I don't know. I think I have a bigger issue with there used to be just be more questions overall. You know what I mean? Like there used to be like seven questions.
What about even last year? Did they have 3 and 3?
Yeah, it was 3 and 3. I think what we're remembering, Big Brother Canada has let the person who's evicted last ask their own question. But I don't think that Big Brother America has ever let the person who was evicted ask a question. I mean, I'd have to go back, but I know for a fact that I remember Arissa Cox saying to the person who was evicted the last few years, you know, you can ask your own question when you're ready for it. But Big Brother US doesn't do that.
That's possible. I rewatched all the Big Brother Canada since I've seen a different season of Big Brother US. So that is fresh in my mind.
I really feel like I remember Danielle asking Dan a question.
I don't know. I thought it was just the thing she said when she put in the key where she said, I'm voting for the person who I guess our deal's still in place. Or I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I could be wrong. I think I remember Danielle asking a question.
Okay, I trust your judgment. Yeah.
By the way, how do you guys think that Dr. Will did in hosting the jury interview segment?
He's found his role, hasn't he? Isn't that just the perfect spot for him?
Do you think that if Julie Chen ever decides to not do Big Brother, do you think that Dan Gieseling, he seems very comfortable in that spot?
I see Taryn just dreaming about that right now.
Taryn?
Well, I thought you were talking about that. Either Will or Dan. I you know, if honestly, if they like took over hosting, like how great would that be?
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool, I have to say.
Be interesting. Be interesting. Let's go to this next question. This is from Music Fan 07058. Can Vanessa still be considered the greatest female player of all time, even without the win? I still say that I'll take Danielle Reyes over Vanessa. What about in terms of any of the female winners? Is there a female winner? How about June? There's been a rivalry between June has not been a Vanessa fan on Twitter. Is it a disservice to some of our other female winners to say that Vanessa is better than them, Taryn?
I think I'd have to take Maggie over Vanessa.
Boo.
I'm not a fan of Maggie personally, but you know, she played a pretty fantastic game. And I don't think Vanessa winning or not changes, you know, the outcome doesn't change the fact that she had a coin flip to win. I think we're in the same position we were, you know, last night. Ultimately it'll be public for public perception that changes, I think. But I think Danielle and Maggie probably ahead of Vanessa. You guys can,
I don't know. I think Rachel Riley is still far and above Vanessa at this point to me. I mean, not just because of the fact that she's a comp beast and that she won her season, but she's great freaking TV. You know, you love.
Well, I think that's a different story than what we're talking about.
Well, country. I think it's an element that has to be considered, you know. I mean, it depends on what's the question asking for. You know, if just game bot wise, which that's what I'm on the panel with here, two game bots. So, you know, I'm not downgrading you guys. I'm just saying you guys can appreciate that more than me, who can, you know, sometimes be a little bitter bitch sometimes. But I think that I think there is something to that, to somebody who plays the game with joy and has a great time and makes great TV, you know. I love watching Rachel where I hated watching Vanessa.
You know, in Brent's defense, Pandora's Box really loved Rachel also, and that's that's not nothing.
You can't count on that as a player, though. Like,
but if you can...
And also, you're comparing Rachel 2.0 to Vanessa 1.0. I don't think that's necessarily fair either.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, you know, for whatever reason, I was going back and watching like montages of Big Brother fights like a couple weeks ago, and I was reminded of something that, you know, to me just was a knock on Maggie I'd forgotten about, which is you know, the week that they sent home Cappy. You know, she was completely at Kacer's mercy. And Kacer says, I caught the bigger fish. And I'm like, wow, Maggie was done right there if Kacer wanted her. So that.
But he didn't.
But only because her partner was better.
Eric was the bigger fish ahead of her.
She always had bigger fish ahead of her.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, I mean, for me, I'm not saying Maggie's a bad winner. I just wouldn't put, if Vanessa had won this season, she would have been, I think she would have been the number one female winner on my list.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
All right. So then we have a question from Paul Abin, who says, do you think that Liz's answer to jury questions and her speech cost her $500,000? I mean, Liz's answers were sort of laughably bad on some of these questions. She was asked about that she just kept saying over and over again that she was how she held her own and she had she did her own campaigning. She kept saying that over and over again.
Right.
She really wanted the money.
She really wanted the money also.
Right. I don't think, Rob, I really don't think this jury was going to vote for her no matter what. I think Taryn's right about that. Having said that, they didn't know that. So, you know, you have to take a look at her speeches. But I think that was there was that one question about what was your strategy? And I mean, I could not decipher a strategy in the answer that she gave whatsoever. I mean, it was just absolutely, you know, LOLing over the whole thing.
Yeah, it was rough, but I don't think anybody changed their votes based on the speeches.
Yeah. Okay. If anything, Steve solidified his votes with his speech.
Brent Showerman says, so Steve used the twin twist to tear down Liz's game. She used it as proof that she played well. Who do you side with? This is one of those age-old questions. Was that an advantage or a disadvantage that Liz had Julia in the game, Alex?
Yeah, I chalk it up to the power of persuasion. It's what you can convince people it is. You know what I mean? Because it's an issue that could be seen both ways. And I think Steve won the battle. You know, that was a battle that needed to be fought tonight. Which, yes. You know, which is it? And ultimately, the final words we got on that were Steve implying that Liz was, you know, made all the more stronger by having two targets in front of her. And, you know, nothing we ever got back from Liz did anything to diminish that in our eyes or the jurors. So right. I think that is key. You know, they left tonight feeling Steve's way on it. And that's what matters.
Rob, I love the fact that Steve absolutely went for the throat on that, where he, the beginning of his speech, talked about how, you know, Liz is in a hotel for the first 3 weeks of the season while she, you know, every 3 days she's switching with Julia. I saw, you know, the people on the panel who were going to vote for Liz, they sort of like frowned at that. But the other people who were going to vote for Steve, you know, they liked him saying that. I love the fact he was hungry tonight. And you have to show that to the people. They want to feel good about giving you the money. They want to feel good about giving you the title. And Steve, you know, he gave them an open box and all they had to do was shut it.
Yeah, you could definitely say that about Steve tonight, that he saw the daylight and he made a run for it. And he did.
He's not a loser
in the end. He's not a loser. He's a winner. He's a winner. The thing, the reason why I said that at that point, and I'll have no issue with talking about this with him in my interview tomorrow, is that I felt like that there was a chance to make a move and go for the daylight at that point in time, and I felt like he punted on that. And whether or not, and we've talked about this to death, that whether he saw a different path that I wasn't seeing at the time, which certainly you could argue that there is a strong case to be made for that. It's like, you know, if just to completely go nerdy, sports nerd, and you know, it's basically I wanted him to go for it on fourth down there. He punted, but he got the ball back and ended up, scoring the winning touchdown. So that's really what it came down to.
That's good.
Okay, so there we go to Jessica Howell, who says, is it true that Vanessa was planning on donating her winnings? I'm pretty sure that I read that somewhere, but I'm not sure if it was a fact. Guess we'll never know for sure. Are you sure that wasn't Frankie Grande last year? Was Vanessa going to build schools in Africa?
Well, she certainly planned on gifting her winnings, and that's been a topic that that some people have been talking about. She talked a lot throughout the season about, you know, I can help you guys out. You guys are going to get some great Christmas presents when we get out of this house. Let's split the money. Let's split the winnings, and we'll stake each other in a poker tournament. Like it got pretty bad.
Yeah. And Big Brother, in my opinion, really didn't. I mean, we don't see everything, but I don't think they did a good enough job of putting a stop to that bull crap. That was crap, Rob. Plain and simple. I mean, she was like, and it wasn't just a day one conversation. It happened many, many, many times where she was talking to people about that. People were talking about that on their way out, that, you know, Vanessa said this to me or whatever. You know, I thought it was unbecoming of the show. And I don't know why they immediately, when it came out of her mouth, there wasn't someone on the loudspeaker saying, you know, Vanessa, please go to the diary room or something like that. And we never heard that at all.
Yeah, I agree. It's a situation where, you know, yeah, I mean, it's on Big Brother. You know, the rules are, you know, as far as I know, they're maybe not as cut and dry as they would be on like house guest hitting another house guest when it comes to talk of, you know, incentives after the show and stuff like that. But at the same time, if they're not going to come immediately, just put a stop to that. Like, you put a hustler in the house, she's going to hustle. What do you want?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take another question. This one is from Yukon R. How come the jury isn't allowed to watch part three of the HOH? They get to see the other parts.
I mean, what are they going to see? Two people guessing A or B.
They'll be more distracted of looking at their own questions. Like, oh my God, I can't believe they used that question. Were you guys surprised? No follow-up on Clelly?
Yeah, that was a little surprising.
That wouldn't say, oh my God, Shelly, Clay, you guys are, what's going on? Shelly, where is this going?
I think it was because Clay basically, you know, gave his middle finger to the fans and quit the game. I really think the producers didn't care for that, and so they didn't give him a pre-juror question.
Oh.
Is that why they keep harping on the BB scandal?
I know, they keep showing that, right? When they show the romance, they showed Meg and Clay. I'm like, Clay's got to be loving that, not...
Yeah, we saw the consolidated story of the season strategically, and they made sure to get that in there of all things. At the beginning of the episode, yeah, that
also
was crazy.
No follow up with Liston either. Julie was not in a very amorous mood tonight.
This is the failing of the Big Brother finale format in general. I think a lot of Big Brother fans, they want to see some kind of reunion after the show ends. To you know, get some feedback from the players after they've watched the season, so more than just the canned lines that we get from the pre-jurors, to ask questions from the jury house, like, you know, what are they going to be doing? You know, all sorts of reunion stuff. We never get any of it, and it's disappointing.
Okay. I want to say that it's never going to happen, but then again, we did get a lot of what we wanted from Survivor. We got, you know, the second chance thing where we got to vote people in. There was the intro on tonight. So, you know, they heard us on some stuff. So maybe I want to say you're just preaching to the choir here, Taryn, but maybe they will eventually change that and they'll not quite put so many things in the finale, which, by the way, they put more stuff in the finale tonight than they ever have in the past. Like, normally they put part one in the memories thing on Sunday night and then show parts two and parts three tonight. So they crammed even more stuff in tonight. And I can't even believe they actually got to two of the jurors to ask a question.
Okay. Let's go to another question. This is from JMUASU. Which house guest do you think will make it onto The Bold and the Beautiful? We're going to do this. We're talking to who's on The Bold and the Beautiful.
No. Next question.
You tell me, Rob, are we doing this?
I'll guess. Okay. I think it'll probably be Vanessa, I guess Austin, and by proxy, I think Liz and Julia have a look that I think you can use on The Bold and the Beautiful.
Right? Oh, yeah, and with soaps love twins, right? You can have all kinds of gimmicks with twins.
Yeah,
I think it's James or bust. Nobody else is making it on.
James. Yeah, James would be good on there. They won't be able to get James to leave once they let him on the set. He'll be staying there. What about Meg during the jury question? Do you think that Meg seemed like to be arguing about how Liz really was a player this season? Meg was getting on my nerves during that jury questioning.
Rob, I think
not the jury questioning, the Dr. Will segment.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I think that, you know, that's all canned too. I mean, even if they're not saying anything positive about Liz, you know, they want to make it so that, you know, the producers know that Liz is in the final two. That it's either going to be, Julie Chin was on the podcast saying it's either going to be Steve and Liz in the final two or Vanessa and Liz in the final two. Liz is going to the final two no matter what. So the producers knew that they had to put some suspense in there. And, you know, even if there wasn't any positive stuff, I'm sure they said to Meg, you know, look, can you say something positive about Liz here? Because we're trying to make a TV show.
Well, how come Johnny Mack could say that, I've got nothing to say about Liz.
No, I'm totally with you, Rob. I think she was never a fan of Vanessa, and she was never a fan of Steve. And I think she was being completely genuine when she was going off about, my thing with Vanessa, though, is that I really hated her, and I'm trying to come up with reasons so I don't have to vote for her. And the thing about Steve is that I like Liz better, and I think I can come up with reasons why Liz probably played a better game. And, oh, man, she drove me crazy. She was sitting two seats next to Austin, and I was more angry at her than I was at Austin. It was nuts.
Right, yeah. But I think that she did the right thing in the end, though, because she, when she put her key in the box, she said, you know, I'm voting for the move or a move. I mean, you know, she was talking about when Steve evicted Vanessa. So I think that her hate for Vanessa eventually made her do the right thing in this final two by voting for Steve, in my opinion.
I think there's a chance if she doesn't know that Steve is already going to win and her vote doesn't matter, she probably votes for Liz.
All right, let's do two more questions. This is from Brittany Scott. I love that Jason called Vanessa out for not owning her game. He said what we've been saying all season. That's right. Preach on, Jason.
Yeah, do you guys think Jason kind of took the pulse of the fans and went in there with the idea that, like, I'm really going to represent the community with the idea that that's going to be well received? Do you think there's something there?
He's been watching this podcast because we've been beating it like
been
a dead
on this
horse.
Podcast.
I think he was speaking as a fan, and I think he represents the fans.
I agree.
So you think that was more like legitimate his legitimate opinion, and less like a political thing,
or an all star? Put me on All Stars.
Right, right. There's potential for I think there's strategy in what he did, whether or not it was intentional.
Okay. All right, and let's do the last question. Eric Duncan says, does anyone feel that Vanessa was bitter in her vote with her saying that she's voting for the person who most represents the season was a poor excuse not to vote for Steve? I mean, certainly seems like a bitter vote to me.
It was bitter, but again, how can we blame her? It was 5 minutes ago. Whatever, people. You know, I mean, I would like to beat her a little bit more for it. I would have expected more out of her. You know, I heard Evil Dick on Twitter saying that it was Dan Giesling, who said, you know, that after he heard Vanessa say good game to Steve, that he wished she hadn't have been evicted. And I'm like, that's what she says when she loses a poker tournament. I have 1,000 people win my poker tournament say good game, good game, good game. It was just totally perfunctory for her.
She stormed out of the house.
Yeah. She was fast, wasn't she? I've never seen anybody move that fast in my life.
Very, very Austin-like. After he realized what was happening, at least.
Yeah. All right. So sorry to hear that. All right. So much more to talk about with Liz and Austin and Vanessa. I'm sorry. I said Liz and so used to Liz and Austin, Liz and Vanessa and Steve coming up with exit interviews tomorrow. Plus, we'll talk to the first person kicked off of Survivor as well. So it'll be a busy Thursday morning. For me, if you haven't caught our Survivor coverage, I talked to Josh Know-It-Alls, talked about the Survivor premiere. It was a great premiere to Survivor, so excited to be off to the races on that. Jenna Lewis will be my guest on the Survivor Recap podcast, and I'll be taking your voicemails with Jessica Leese. And speaking of Jessica Leese, we'll get into the first episode of The Amazing Race 27 this Friday night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern, 6:15 p.m. Pacific. There you go. I talked to Dan Giesling as well yesterday. If you haven't caught that, good interview with Dan. If you are a Dan fan and you did not catch it yesterday, that's a good interview to check out. We'll get you through this Big Brother offseason, and hopefully we'll talk to some of these Big Brother people, maybe in a more formal setting as we move along here into the Big Brother offseason.
Sounds good, Rob. All thanks right. for having me this season.
Yeah,
let me thank
all three of these guys who did such a knockout job. Let me go in the reverse order that I introduced them. Taryn Taz Armstrong, great job all season long, buddy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. This has been an incredible experience. I've said it 1,000 times, but the response I've gotten from the RHAP community and the Big Brother community has been incredible. And I never would have expected so many people to not hate me for my opinions on Big Brother. So thank you all. And thank you, Rob. And I love everyone.
Okay. Especially Maggie.
Especially Maggie.
Yes. Okay. Brent. Did a fantastic job with us as well this season. Brent, thank you.
Thank you, Rob. I just want to say to everyone out there, you know, it's nice to hear people asking Taryn and Alex for dates and whatnot. And I do have a partner of 11 years, but throw a boy a bone every now and then just to tell me you like what I'm wearing, and I'll be happy with that. Thank you.
Okay. And of course, Alex, thank you as well. Great job on your service here in Big Brother 17.
Yeah, it's been the best summer ever, Rob. It's been so much fun. I've really enjoyed it. And see you guys in the spring. I don't know. This has been fun.
Big Brother Canada 4.
Okay. All right. So
see you next time.
Thank you guys so much. What's the hashtag tonight? What's the hashtag here?
Hashtag
Taryn loves the nerd herd.
We're supposed to be on top of our game right now. Yeah. This is like this is like World Series form, and we don't have anything. This is no good.
Hashtag Vanessa over Rachel. Rachel over Vanessa for Brent.
Yeah.
What about Taz? What about Taz loves Maggie?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. We did it. We got there.
Taz
loves Maggie.
Either that or I feel like that's a little too inside baseball.
Rob, come up with something, Mr. Brilliant.
I feel like Steve's a winner. Steve's a winner. He's not a loser. He's a winner. Steve is a winner.
Right. He's a winner.
All right. Great job, everybody. Thanks, Scott St. Pierre, for working overtime tonight, also on these double shows. Thanks, everybody, who watched all of these podcasts over the summer. This is the 40th Big Brother live show that we've done in terms of episode recaps. Not to mention, we did voicemail shows, and we did talked about exit interviews and talked about with the live feed. So God knows how many Big Brother podcasts we did this summer. Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 Big Brother podcasts or something like that. So an insane amount of Big Brother podcasts this summer. It's over. We've got the exit interviews coming up tomorrow. But thank you guys so much. It's been a very fun summer for me. Very excited to get started talking about Survivor. Have a great night, everybody. And we will talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody.